Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this episode of Jots and Tittles, I'm going to be recording an audio version of a blog post or a blog article that was titled Defending Chris Myers' Point. The blog article was written by R.L. Vaughn, pastor of Old Prospect, a Baptist church in Mount Enterprise, Texas. This article was posted to the author's blog, and R.L. Vaughn's blog is titled Ministry and Music, Seeking the Old Paths. And this article was posted on Tuesday, October the 11th of 2022. The article addresses criticism expressed by some of the article written by Pastor Christopher Myers, which appeared in the Why I Preach from the Received Text anthology. And so this is R.L. Vaughn's analysis of some of that criticism. So here now is R.L. Vaughn's article in an audio version posted with the author's permission. It begins with a preface that says, ... without agreeing with everything he wrote. And then the article begins. Why I Preach from the Received Text, a book I recently reviewed quite positively, has come under specific attack for its chapter 19, titled The Invincible Word by Christopher Myers. First, a few general observations on Christopher Myers' chapter. It struck me as different from most of the previous essays I had read in the book. Many of those were much more personal and testimonial. After extolling the Word of God as invincible and indestructible, Myers quickly transitioned to a history of the transmission of God's Word, with the transmission of Satan's work along with and against it. In this relation of the history, the writer affirms Satan's various attacks on the Word of God through uninspired writings competing with those of the apostles, hindering the laity's access to the Word of God, variations that diminish the deity of Christ, and so forth. See pages 187 to 191. Ultimately, the Christian reader must choose between the faulty text, disrupted by the work of Satan, and the reliable one that has stood the test of time. Mark Ward and Matthew Everhard have both charged Chris Myers of accusing folks who use certain modern translations of using Satan's Bible. In this blog review of the book, Ward writes, quote, Myers makes it clear that when he refers to Satan's Bible, he is not speaking of the sectarian New World Translation or the Book of Mormon, but to the Bible that I carry to church this very day as I write this, the ESV, and to the one my pastor preached from the NASB, and by a small extension to the Bible I preach from in our Spanish ministry, the NVI, related to the NIV, end quote. In a YouTube video, Everhard states, quote, one of the authors calls some of the modern translations, including the NIV and the ESV, Satan's Bible, end quote. Myers wrote, quote, modern translations based on Satan's Bible that omit some of the Word of God include the New American Standard Bible, the New International Version, English Standard Version, and many others. End quote, page 192 from Why I Preach from the Received Text. I understand that those who use the ESV, NASB, NIV, et al. Will take offense at Myers' above expression. However, I do not believe the quotes from Ward and Everhard exactly or accurately portray Myers' statement in its context. While one might extrapolate that from what Myers wrote, it is not what he wrote. There's a fine line. He did not say they are using Satan's Bible, but that these Bibles are, quote, based on, end quote, it. Based on, an adjective that in context seems to mean that they have attachment to or reliance on it as a source item for their translations. The attempts Satan has made against God's Word affect all these Bibles. The more I look at chapter 19, Myers' article, the more I think people have misunderstood and misapplied what Myers wrote. Is it just vacant talk that provides some sort of moral high ground when we say that we seek to understand and fairly represent our opponents? If not, then we must all try to understand and then fairly represent our opponents, including Chris Myers and what he wrote. He wrote strong words, very strong words. These words cannot help but sound inflammatory to modern Bible proponents. He is calling them out. The point he is making is that the modern translations founded on the NU Greek text are heirs to the defects, especially deletions, that have entered into the text through the leavening work of Satan. Possibly many TR and KJV proponents failed the Dale Carnegie How to Win Friends and Influence People course, while most critical texts and modern Bible proponents pass with flying colors. Myers sharply spells out the consequences of what he understands as an assault against the Word of God, whereas the other side simply says we are adding verses instead of their removing verses, usually leaving us to intuit the rest that goes with that accusation. Who is nicer? Regardless, pleasing demeanor and affable tone are not the arbiters of truth. Satan has an interest in opposing, questioning, and confusing God's word. This is not some KJVO or TRO conspiratorial viewpoint. The text and teaching of the Bible itself verifies this. From the beginning, the serpent questioned the word of God. A wicked king tried to burn it. False apostles mimicked letters in the name of Paul. The multiplication of Bible translations, the words written about textual variants, and so on, can work to his advantage. There are textual variants and translations thereof that do matter. George Vance Smith, a Unitarian, served on the English Bible Revision Committee, created in 1870, that produced the English Revised Version. He believed the variants had theological impact, and he wrote with some pleasure that he thought the new revision muted the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and the atonement. See the work Text and Margins of the Revised New Testament Affecting Theological Doctrines, briefly reviewed. You don't have to be a TR or KJV advocate to recognize this. James Snap Jr., an advocate of equitable eclecticism, exhibits this when he writes, quote, "But we should not let ourselves pretend that some textual variants cannot be used against Orthodox doctrines. There was and is a spiritual battle going on," end quote. A spiritual battle. In, quote, "Mark of the Beast, is it 666 or 616? End quote. Our friend Dwayne Green discusses text criticism, the Mark of the Beast, and the variant number 616 instead of 666. He says, quote, "It makes sense that the devil would want to confuse you about what that number is," end quote. Dwayne is neither KJVO nor TRO, yet he recognizes that Satan has an interest in confusing us about God's word. Is it only okay for those who are not KJVO or TRO or confessional bibliologists to point this out? No, it is truth, regardless of who says it and regardless of who objects. Wilbur Pickering, like Dwayne Green, is neither KJVO nor TRO. He is a modern textual critic advocating what is called the Family 35 majority text. He has strong words about Satan's influence on the text of the Bible. Quote, "Since eclectic textual criticism is based on falsehoods, it belongs to Satan. Since most theological seminaries and Bible schools teach eclectic textual criticism, even the most conservative ones, and since that is the only option that they teach, most students graduate thinking that this is all there is. The graduate may believe the New Testament to be inspired and inerrant in the autographs, but he uses and teaches from an eclectic Greek text and modern versions based on an eclectic text. He embraced a lie because he trusted the teachers who assured him it was the truth. But that lie has become a stronghold of Satan in his mind, which is why so many evangelicals seem to be unable to reconsider what they were taught." End quote. see the work textual criticism and the spiritual factor. The above examples demonstrate that speaking of Satan working against the Word of God is not a feature of any one brand of, quote, Bible-onlyism, end quote. Neither is it a relic of the past. Others believe and say there is satanic influence in textual transmission and Bible translations. That agreement with which Myers laid out, I also diverge somewhat with his approach. We should exercise caution not to cause sincere believers, and even sincerely wrong ones, to doubt God's word. For those who completely exclude any part of the critical text and modern translations from being God's word, my point will fall flat. However, the rest of you, consider that in many places, the critical text and traditional text have the same readings. Some translations of verses have the same words as those same verses in the King James translation. In good conscience and the spirit of truth, we cannot deny those portions are the word of God, regardless of where they appear. Here is Romans 1:1 from four different Greek texts. Which one is the word of God? And here has the Greek text from Romans 1:1 laid out, in which each line reads the same. Paulos, doulos, Jesu Christu, kletos, apostolos, aphorismenos, eis euangelion theou. Here is Romans 1:1 from three different English translations. Which one is the word of God? And here are three lines, and they all read the same thing. The first one is, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. These examples are all the same, with the exception of the capitalization and pointing in the fourth Greek example, and of course the difference between Greek and English. Either every one is the word of God, or none is the word of God. We cannot keep a consistent or biblical textual view if the same word of God ceases to be the word of God when sown under the wrong two leather covers. So, in my opinion, we need to respect the word of God, that it is the word of God, whether it is printed under the covers of a Bible text or translation we do not like, quoted in a book we would not read, printed on a banner, posted on Facebook, or spoken from the mouth of either the godly or godless. This position does not mean we cannot or should not oppose what is wrong in the ESV, NASB, NIV, and other modern translations as defective and deficient. It means that we carefully choose to apply or not apply certain terminology to books that contain some of God's word, mistranslate some of it, and/or leave out some of it. It may be that we need to use that book and the words of God contained within it to convince some sincere believer concerning his or her view. For example, say there is a sincere believer who thinks the NIV is the word of God. Adamantly, I say, no, it is Satan's book. Then that person may begin to question God's word. In other words, question God's word in principle, not just the NIV, because he or she thinks it is God's word. Later, they may not accept any Bible as authoritative. A speaker may intend for a person to question the NIV and or critical text and accept the KJV and or traditional text. However, there is no guarantee that will be the results. It is not necessary to believe that evangelical text critics and modern Bible translators are Satanists in order to believe that they have been led astray in creating, adopting, and or translating a certain defective text. Some of us believe that the Westcott-Hort/NU text tradition leaves out and changes some of God's word. If we are correct, then the basic point Christopher Myers makes is correct. Some of us might make the point in different language than Myers, but the general point is true nevertheless. It will be interesting to hear whether and how Myers himself responds to these criticisms. Greater is he that is in his word, God, than he who opposes it, Satan. The word of God is not bound. It is not broken. The devil cannot defeat it. Here ends the article by R.L. Vaughn. And with that, we'll bring this episode of Jots and Tittles to a conclusion. I did not read the footnotes, several footnotes that went along with the article, but I just read the main body of the article. Again, I hope this is helpful. I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next episode of Jots and Tittles. Till then, take care and God bless.